Once again, it is time for East Coast Bias on MissionCanny.blogspot.com with your host, Brennan Canny and Jason Mish. And now, recording live, simultaneously from Philadelphia and Daytona Beach, this is East Coast Bias.
Welcome to East Coast Bias on MissionCanny.blogspot.com. Hello and what's up, folks? I am Brennan Canny.
And I am Jason Mish.
And you are now with East Coast Bias. Today we are going to be talking about the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, and finally finish up with a segment we like to call the Weekly Fill. First up, we want to talk about, of course, the NFL and give you guys our NFL rundown. A collection of scores, stats, and a little bit of insight and analysis on our part. First off...
Definitely some good games yesterday.
Yes, certainly
were. We'll be covering them right now.
Okay, and first off, we're going to talk about the 96 combined points that the Cincinnati and the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns put up. Browns won it 51-45. Jamal Lewis, 28 carries, 215 yards and a touchdown. Carson Palmer, 6 touchdowns, 401 yards passing. Incredible game. Fun to watch. Although I wasn't able to, I only was able to catch the fourth quarter when they switched over to it on CBS.
You mentioned Palmer's 6 touchdowns. Also, Derek Anderson of the Browns, who, you know, and the Browns were facing some difficult times after trading away their starter from week one
to
the front of the Seahawks. And what does Derek Anderson do? He comes out and throws for 350 and 5 touchdowns. And Anderson and Palmer combined for the second most TD passes in a game
right.
with 11. So what a... high offensive shootout, and it's probably the biggest disappointment. Best game of the week, definitely, in my opinion, and maybe a big disappointment if you were looking at the Bengals. I think most people looked at them as a good team coming in and losing to a Browns team that looks to be below average, even though they played a lot better yesterday.
Oh, yeah, definitely agree. And, you know, this is one of those teams Cincinnati had to beat. I mean, they're in a, you know, tough division. They can't, you know, afford to squander what was supposed to be a easy game for these guys and lose one. Anyway.
Line, you got to win in the dog pounds.
Exactly. And by the way, Chad Johnson did leap into the stands and was promptly punched and thrown beer at.
Yes.
Nice. Anyway, on to the next game. Indianapolis beats the Tennessee Titans in what is a close game, and a lot of people weren't expecting this. Indianapolis wins 22-20. Peyton Manning over 300 yards passing. Joseph Addai led in rushing with 81 yards, and Marvin Harrison, of course, led in receiving with 87. Vince Young looked pretty good in this.
He did, and I think he had about 200 total yards, and he almost mounted the comeback. It was a little too late, and
earned
a crucial fourth down. That they were driving, the Colts blitzed 7 men.
Yeah,
everybody's eyes on Vince, and Vince was looking to scramble, and it didn't happen. He got actually ended up lateraling it to an offensive lineman, and it looked ugly. But you know, it's the Colts, they're the defending champions, but it shows some of the character I think the Titans will have. And despite the lack of talent on their team, I think they'll be a competitive team in the AFC this year.
Yeah, definitely. Vince Young already five.
And Vince Young makes him that.
Already five fourth quarter comebacks in his career already. Lendell White got his first career touchdown in this game. Had 15 carries for 64 yards. And Vince Young actually was the second leading rusher on the team and was averaging 10.6 yards a rush. So Vince Young definitely put forth a great effort. And unfortunately, the Titans could not squeak it out. They lose 22-20 to the Indianapolis Colts. On to our next game. San Francisco wins 17-16 over St. Louis. St. Louis is now 0-2. 0-2 at home. Both games played on the turf. The greatest display of offense on turf is not looking good so far.
Very true. And on the other hand, San Fran looks like they could be an NFL West contender, NFC West contender.
Definitely. Mark Bulger had a huge game, but much like the problems that LT's having running with the Chargers, Steven Jackson has not been playing very well in his first two games. St. Louis is really going to hope he bounces back in a big way and has a huge week into the following week. The next game is a resurgent Green Bay Packers, 35-13 over the lowly Giants. Brett Favre, 286 yards passing. You know, it was just great to see him come back into form. Wish that the Eagles had won the previous game with Green Bay, but they didn't. The Green Bay Packers are now 2-0 with this win.
The one thing I take, look at Green Bay, they're 2-0. I'm not going to read too much into it, it's early. But from being one of the worst divisions last year, the NFC North, and I want to see if you agree with this.
Okay.
Okay, Green Bay comes out to shoot 2-0. Detroit looks like a lot better team. They're 2-0. Minnesota, competitive, tough defensive team with the combination of Peterson and Taylor. And, of course, the Bears. So I think this division is much improved from last year. And I think, other than Minnesota, I think the other three have a chance to win it, of winning the division.
I agree. And I think these guys, I think the NFC has become just as competitive as the NFC was a couple years ago. I can't say that now. The Giants don't look good. The Redskins, however, are 1-0. They're playing the Philadelphia Eagles tonight, so it'll be interesting to see how they play. But I definitely agree that the NFC become increasingly more wide open now with the Green Bay Packers resurging. Yeah, so it is early. It is early. Next game, Buffalo only squeaks out 3 points against a vaunted Pittsburgh defense. Pittsburgh puts up 26. Pittsburgh is now 2-0, looking much like the Super Bowl contenders they were about 2 years ago.
And Willie Parker's performance and the way he's been playing in the first 2 weeks definitely shows up here. And, you know, on the Bills' side, tough week for him. And a tough week, and a week that they probably won't ever have to go through again, something that dramatic. And, of course, since we are talking about the Bills, we would like to mention, you know, that we mentioned what happened to Kevin Everett the week before.
Yeah,
and
of course.
At least good news this week. We won't really get into it, but at least good news this week coming out of that area. So, you know, a tough game, and not a lot, I think, expected the Bills to win this.
No, Bills' defense just could not stop the Steelers. Steelers converted 11 of their 16 third-down attempts. So it was basically just a cakewalk for Pittsburgh. They're now 2-0, Buffalo 0-2. It'll be interesting to see how Pittsburgh plays for the rest of the year. Could be Super Bowl contenders once again in the AFC. The next game, New Orleans-Tampa Bay. New Orleans 0-2 on two road games. Kind of unexpected from a team that was a Super Bowl contender last year. They lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are now 1-1. And it was interesting to see how Jeff Garcia handled this offense. Joey Galloway had a huge game, and Jeff Garcia looked just as strong as he did when he was playing with the Eagles last year.
Interesting quote I read from John Gruden. He said yesterday, and I think this may be something we should have realized when we thought of the move Jeff Garcia and going to a Gruden-led Buccaneers team, that at least he's going to give you that hard. And that he's going to keep you in ball games. And the quote was, "No disrespect to any of the previous quarterbacks we've had here, but the biggest play of the football game was a scramble that Garcia made where he went head first trying to get the first down, and it sends a message to the team." And I think that's what they're going to get from Garcia. And we're starting to see early in the season that maybe some of these teams, the parity in the NFL today, where it's such a favored team like the Saints, especially from what they did last year, lose to a team like the Buccaneers, who, you know, basically...
And all intents and purposes really weren't supposed to be challenging for a playoff spot, and we're going to be...
We don't know that yet, but...
No, that's right.
Teams are looking competitive.
Yeah, a lot more competitive than we would think. Yes. And one of the biggest surprises, arguably, in the NFL right now is Houston. They just come off a 34-21 trouncing of the Carolina Panthers. And it was amazing to see just how easily Matt Schaub and the Houston offense handled this Carolina defense, which is not only healthy, but I thought they were pretty good.
And first time in franchise history the Texans start 2-0. So, and if you're a Texans fan, after you show David Carr what he's missing right now by letting him go, he was on the sidelines for the Panthers yesterday. But a good win for the Texans, and again, the theme I keep bringing up is some surprising results around the league in the first 2 weeks. And it's good to see. As a fan, you always want to see parity, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Man, Joey Harrington or Matt Schaub? Yeah.
Yep, that's a tough one.
Well, leading into our next game is Atlanta. They lost to Jacksonville 13-7. Again, the Atlanta offense just looks absolutely atrocious. They're just not getting anything going. People expected a lot more from a Bobby Petrino-led offense. The guy was a genius when he coached at Louisville. It has not worked out so far. Joey Harrington didn't give up, you know, any turnovers or anything, no interceptions, no fumbles, but it just the offense just is not clicking right now.
No, it's not. And the one thing I'll point out about the Jaguars is kind of early in the season, the touchdown guru of a year ago, Maurice Jones-Drew, has yet to get a touchdown and only had 32 yards rushing yesterday. So kind of a slow start for him, but the Jags pull off a close victory over a depleted Falcons team,
yeah.
I think it's safe to say.
Safe to say. Exciting game in Detroit. Overtime, Detroit wins. They are now 2-0. They won 20-17 over the Minnesota Vikings. Adrian Peterson, who had a spectacular game in his debut for the Minnesota Vikings, only managed 52 yards in this game on receiving and 66 yards on the ground, but only averaged 3.3 yards a carry. Wasn't exactly his greatest effort. And Tavarius Jackson, 4 interceptions, did not look good at all at this game.
The pivotal play of the game was an overtime win. Brooks Bollinger, the quarterback for the Vikings, fumbled the first possession in overtime the Vikings had, giving the ball at the ball at midfield for the Lions, and Kittinen converted that on 31 yards on 4 plays and set up the Hansen game winner.
Do you see Jackson starting again? I mean, do you think Jackson will start again next week?
Yeah, because they gave him the kind of the future label, if you understand what I'm saying.
I got you.
Starter this
but
young.
4 interceptions against a so-so Detroit defense?
You could even say worse than so-so, yeah. And yeah, you make a good point, but I don't know how much you have in Brooks Bollinger. And I think he kind of showed that yesterday.
That's true.
With fumbling on a pivotal possession.
Well, Minnesota certainly isn't going to be winning any games with offense, I don't think.
Definitely.
Unless they really pound out some yards on the ground. Minnesota defense, again, played very well during this game. Unfortunately, they could not help Tavarius Jackson throwing 4 interceptions to Detroit defensive backs. And our next game, Dallas, is absolutely on a roll offensively. They win 37-20 over Miami, who is not one of those defenses that is so-so. Defense that includes Zach Thomas, Channing Crowder, Jason Taylor. It's a good defense, and Dallas was just picking them apart like a Thanksgiving turkey.
When you look at the box score, the stats are pretty much even, but what's glaring out at you is the 4 interceptions,
yeah,
by Trent Green, giving Cowboys easy points on turnovers, and bottom line, Cowboys had no turnovers.
What's up with Ronnie Brown? I mean,
what, 33 yards, I believe, yesterday?
Yeah, on 11 carries.
Yeah, very... Well, it's the Dolphins offense. We all know they can play defense, but with Trent Green behind center, you're asking for it.
Yeah.
I'll take my first shot of the year with Trent Green.
Dante Culpepper still has not started a game yet, so
but
I don't know.
He will. And he might start more than Trent Green. We'll have to see about that.
Yeah, we certainly will. And our next game, another very good competitive game. Arizona Cardinals squeak out a 3-point win over Seattle, 23-20. It was interesting to see how well Edgerrin James ran in this game. He looked like Edgerrin James when he played for the Colts. And Matt Leinart had a pretty decent game, 23 of 37 for almost 300 yards passing.
I think the storyline for the Cardinals yesterday, 3-point victory, is Neil Rakers, who hit three field goals, and including the game tire that was 52 yards, and the fourth that won it,
and
with under a minute to go.
Is it Rakers or is it Rakers? Is it Rakers?
Neil Rakers.
Is it Rakers? Are you sure?
Neil Rakers?
I think it's Rakers. Anyway, fumbles. Big story in this game. Matt Hasselbeck lost one. You know, you got to kind of limit those turnovers, especially in a game where Sean Alexander really, really wasn't rushing the ball all that well. 18 carries for 70 yards. Kind of expect more out of Sean Alexander. And like I said, Edgerrin James looked like Edgerrin James of old in this game. 24 carries, 128 yards, and a TD. Very, very promising storyline there for the Arizona Cardinals. If James gets going, this Arizona offense could be very, very good.
It could
very
be,
good.
And they'll definitely have a tough test next week against the Baltimore Ravens. So
certainly will, certainly will. Chicago, and what was kind of a sleeper beside Hester, of course, Devin Hester, amazing, actually had 2 punt returns for a touchdown, although one was called back. But, I mean, seeing that guy return kicks was almost, it's as exciting, if not more, than when Dante Hall was returning kicks for Kansas City.
Cedric Benson had his first rushing game for the Bears, and Kansas City looks like one of the worst teams in the NFL. I will...
You go out on a limb there?
Yeah, are you gonna... You like that, or...
No, I do. Larry Johnson does not look good. Damon Hewitt had, you know, an okay game. Did throw a pick, however. Michael Bennett who wasn't even starting, happened to have two fumbles, one lost. And he touched the ball 10 times, fumbled twice. 5-to-1 ratio, fumbling the ball certainly isn't a good thing. Rex Grossman, I want to talk about in this game, 2 interceptions, 160 yards, averaged 4.7 yards a pass.
And that's what you're going to get out of Rex Grossman, and that's why you wonder what the Bears' fate will be again in January and February.
Yeah, it's because if he has that kind of game against a good team, I don't think Chicago wins this game. And I think that Brian Griese is a better option at quarterback, but that's yet to be seen. Well, Rex Grossman has a lot more games to play, but I think people are starting already to lose confidence in their starting quarterback in Chicago. We were talking about Dante Culpepper. Next game is the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders. Another overtime game. Denver wins 23-20, and I thought it was going to be a laugher. I really didn't expect Oakland to make a game of this.
The pivotal play in this game came on when Sebastian Janikowski, the kicker for the Raiders, hit a 52-yard field goal, and that was in overtime. And apparently, that gave them the apparent victory. But the officials ruled that Mike Shanahan had called for a timeout before the kick, so he kicks it over, it hits off the upright, and the Broncos go on to win. So a tough one for the Raiders in what is always the rivalry of Broncos-Raiders is always a rivalry, and they're always going to be close games. Even though the Broncos now at 2-0, I'm starting to really like coming out of that AFC West, but that's beside the point.
And Travis Henry looks really good, rushing
yes,
the ball. Does. Cutler could have had a better game, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Before you call me out, Josh McCown did not have a good day passing the ball, 8 of 16, 3 INTs.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay, I'll say it then. Yeah,
and Lamont Jordan had a good rushing game, almost 160 yards on the ground.
No touchdowns, though, but yeah, I mean, the Denver looks really good. Their defense looked better in this game, and I really think that Travis Henry is going to be the catalyst for this team if they're going to go anywhere. And I think there's always one thing you can take out from any Oakland Raiders game, and that is never draft a kicker in the first round of the draft.
One more interesting that's true with Janikowski, certainly. And one more interesting point. Broncos had 3 interceptions and 3 sacks, and they all came on third down plays. So that's, I don't know if that's luck or talent, but that was good third down defense by the Broncos yesterday.
It certainly is. Our next to last game, Baltimore wins a snooze fest in Baltimore. They beat the New York Jets 20-13. Clemens looked pretty good in his first outing as the Jets starting quarterback. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, 19-37 for 260. And Kyle Bowler had a tremendous game, 2 touchdowns, 23-35 for 185. Willis McGahee rushed the ball okay, averaged almost 4 yards. But Thomas Jones is a real story here, only 2.8 yards a carry, and really does not look like the shade of a running back he was when he was the Chicago Bears.
Brennan, to the naked eye, this was a snoozer, as your words indicated, of a game. But actually, it came down to the last minute where the Jets were driving and had a pass to Justin McCarron, tipped off his hands, and Ray Lewis intercepted it in the end zone, which sealed up the game. So they had a chance to tie, is my point.
Oh.
With a minute left.
I wasn't really listening.
That's a good one. Brennan.
Baltimore should have lost this game. 11 penalties for 100 yards. That's
can't be doing that.
That is an amazing stat right there. Yeah, they can't be doing that if they expect to win more games.
Two kind of big injuries. Trevor Price, the defensive tackle for the Ravens, broke his wrist yesterday. And Justin Miller, the Jets, hurt knee. So Price should be out for a while, and Miller it'll be yet to be seen.
Price will be a huge injury for Baltimore if he's gonna lose amount of time, but be interesting to see how much time he's gonna lose. And our final game of Sunday was the Sunday night game, New England.
Definitely the most anticipated game. It didn't turn out. To
yeah,
be great.
Most anticipated. Yeah, not a real good game at all. New England absolutely blows out San Diego, 38-14, at the end of the first half, it was 24-0, and New England.
They gave a stat last night they gave a stat last night that Brady was like 13 for 16 and 160 yards, two touchdowns. Ridiculous, man. I mean, from the opening kick, they spread him out and did that short passing game, and San Diego couldn't do anything about it.
Do you think Bill Belichick was taping the game?
I think definitely not.
Well, regardless if he was or not, I mean, this was just an absolute demolishment.
Give him a Super Bowl ticket right now, because that's where they're going. I'm serious. You can write that down. You can write it down. You can put it on.
I know it's early. There's, you know, 15 weeks ago, Jace, but could we be seeing the next Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots? I mean,
I wasn't even thinking about that, but that's interesting.
They look unstoppable.
They certainly look good enough that if anybody could do it, they could.
I mean, Wes Welker looks like one of the best free agent pickups as of right now. I know it's 2 weeks into the season, but boy, does that guy look good.
You got Moss, Stallworth, and Welker, and you got Brady, who is only second to Manning, and maybe first in heart and decision-making and moxie or character. I don't know, but certainly up there. So, you know, and the defense is the defense. Belichick-led and strong as ever.
What's your diagnosis on LaDainian Tomlinson? He's looked atrocious in his last two games. Both last two games combined hasn't gone over the 100-yard mark yet.
This is what I think happens. It's not like nobody knew who LaDainian Tomlinson was last year, but they came out of nowhere when they were 14-2, and they didn't have the target on their back last year. They have the target on their back and on their front and on everywhere, because everybody's going to be ready to play the Chargers. And basically, the way I look at it is, you make Rivers beat you, and you make the wideouts beat you, and you don't let anybody named Antonio or LaDainian beat you.
Okay, well, this is my thing right now. In hindsight, of course, hindsight is 20/20. Do the Chargers right now? This isn't a question really. I'm going to say it. The Chargers miss Marty Schottenheimer.
They do,
because Marty Ball worked for this team, and I think Norv Turner is going to make this team implode. Not saying that anyone is going to you know go Terrell Owens on the team, but I just don't think Norv Turner was a good option at head coach, and I think.
It was.
I think the Chargers are going to miss Marty Schottenheimer real quickly.
And I think it might cost A.J. Smith his job at the end of the season.
You think so?
GM of the Chargers, yes.
All right. There is one more football game that still has yet to be played, and that is tonight's game at 8:30 on ESPN. Washington takes on Philadelphia. This is Philadelphia's home opener at the Link. Jason, what do you think is going to happen in this game? Washington has Jason Campbell, a good young, upcoming quarterback. They have the two-headed monster in Betts and Portis. And the Eagles' defense looked good. The offense looked atrocious in the Green Bay game.
You asked for my prediction, and a prediction I shall give you at home. McNabb comes out firing, throws for three touchdowns. Westbrook goes for 120 yards. And those 120 yards later propels the Eagles to a 31-13 victory.
Are you not being a homer at all, huh?
No, fly Eagles fly.
what do you think? Do you like Washington's chances with this with this roster that they have, or do you think they're going to kind of fizzle out in the NFC East?
You're not going to go into Lincoln Financial with Jason Campbell in week two after the Eagles just came off a disappointing loss and beat the Eagles.
Okay. Oh, and
Redskins should be competitive, and they should be better than the Giants. I don't know if that's saying a lot.
Right.
But they should be third place, maybe a 7-9 at best. You know, decent team, and let's see what Campbell starts doing this year. Let's see if Campbell can be a decent NFL quarterback.
All right, well, before we move on, Donovan McNabb. Knees looked real good. Was moving around the pocket really well in the Green Bay game.
Of course.
However, His accuracy, of course, was off. Is that him? Do you think he'll finally shake off the rust in this game?
Yeah, it was rust.
That's what I thought. But people were questioning whether his knees were okay. Like, it takes 2 years for an ACL injury to rehab an ACL injury. And I'm like, did you guys watch the same game I did? And he was moving around fine. He just wasn't stepping into his throws.
My last point on this is, he didn't play a lot in preseason. A lot of guys didn't, but when, especially coming off an injury, I think you need to get to game speed. He'll be fine. Give him a week or two. You know, he just has to get back into the mentality and the conditioning that you need, and he'll be fine. Don't worry about McNabb. Don't worry about number five under center.
All right. Well, my prediction for this game will be Philadelphia 24, Washington 10.
Very good. Two right. Eagles victories. Good to hear.
That is good to hear.
We recap Sunday's action in the National Football League, but there was a big Saturday of college football action as well. And
woo.
We will review some of the bigger games of the Saturday that just passed. And to start it off, USC played Nebraska in Lincoln and won by 49-31. The game wasn't as close as the score indicates, with Nebraska scoring 21 fourth quarter points. But it definitely cements USC's place at number one in the polls.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
LSU at two did the same. They rolled over Middle Tennessee State. Low competition. But after Virginia Tech's big win from a week ago and what Louisville and Middle Tennessee did earlier last week as well, where they both put up, 800 yards and 80 points.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
Good to see LSU roll over Middle Tennessee 44-0.
Yeah, another second shutout for LSU.
Number three, Oklahoma rolled over Utah State. West Virginia, number four, beat Maryland on Thursday night, 31-14. Slayton went off for 137. And the freshman, his backup, Noah Devine, went for 160 as well. So West Virginia running the ball effectively. I think you'll be seeing a lot of that this year. And a game I wanted about number five, Florida, against number 22, Tennessee.
Right.
Typically, you know, shoot 'em out. Good game, good rivalry game in the SEC every year. Was pretty much nothing close to that with Tebow behind two of his touchdowns and almost starts trample Tennessee 59-20. And your thoughts on that game, Brennan?
Team Tebow. He's pretty good.
Early Cy Young?
Cy Young.
Early Heisman.
This guy looks tremendous. And I don't think Florida fans are missing Chris Leak at this point, even though, I mean, that guy led him to a national championship last year over Ohio State.
Tebow
looks really good.
Look, Tebow had something to do with that last year, though.
Oh, he certainly did. I agree.
But not much. But it was definitely his change of pace that helped fuel that 12-1 season or 13-1 season.
He just brings so much energy to the field. Florida, I think, could run the table. And I definitely see Florida taking on someone for the BCS National Championship this year.
Tebow's a sophomore, and I wanted to also point out Percy Harvin, another sophomore, actually led the team in rushing with 75 yards and receiving with 120. So a huge day for Percy Harvin, who should be a very, very good
player. Against a quality SEC opponent in Tennessee.
Yes, it was. It was in Gainesville, but still a good, huge victory for Florida.
Yes.
That was the fifth ranked team, Florida. We will move on to the sixth ranked Texas, who survived a semi-scare.
They only won by three.
It wasn't that close, but...
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking. No, it was a very close game in Central Florida, which hurt them. And I'm not going to mention any names, but a predominant college football analyst on a network that we all watch, I'll say, actually predicted before the game that Texas would sleepwalk a little and it would be a close game. And I'd just like to point that out, that he was right about that.
It certainly was.
But after Central Florida went for it on a 4th-and-1 at the Texas 1, scored, put them up a point. Texas didn't look back and held on for a 35-32 victory. Another action, Wisconsin and the Citadel, and we shouldn't even be talking about this game, but I did want to mention two things. First off, halftime, the score was 21-21, and when I saw that, I thought Appalachian State, Michigan. But then in the second half, Wisconsin took over.
Pulled away.
Final score, 45-31.
How bad is the Big Ten?
Pretty bad. And you know who I think the second best team in the Big Ten is? I think you're a fan of them.
Penn State?
It's yes. Not Ohio State. It's Penn State, I think.
All right.
That's the 7th-ranked Wisconsin. Like I said, P.J. Hill had 5 touchdowns, 45-31.
Over Division 2A, I'm never, ever going to get used to saying FCS or... What's the other one? FBC? The football bowl subdivision thing?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Division 1A, Division 2A. Oh, I'm going to stick to that.
Number 9th ranked Louisville lost
to my boy,
to the Kentucky Wildcats.
Andre Woodson. Talk about him.
40-34. And that's one of those what propels Kentucky over Louisville.
I've been Andre Woodson, amazing quarterback four touchdowns, 30 of 44, 275. This dude is the real deal, a quarterback. Real deal.
Definitely is. And a game that I thought would be a lot closer, I kind of, and an interesting one, an interesting non-conference game. 10th-ranked Ohio State beats Washington 33-14. But I'd just like to say Washington loses at home, but they're 2-1. I know it's early, but I like what Ty Willingham's starting to do at Washington, and look for them to have a pickup year after some disappointing years.
Ohio State's offense does not look very good.
No, it doesn't. And that's going to be a problem. And that's why, look, we didn't get a chance to talk about the Michigan. Well, you did, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I won't go too into it, but let's put it this way. They didn't even start playing Big Ten games yet. So they could win the Big Ten.
Right.
So I never understood. I mean, it was a huge loss, but it doesn't. You don't have to be crazy about it. You can still win the Big Ten.
No, but they did get blown out of Oregon, too.
And that definitely hurt them.
Yes. Yeah.
Both three games at home, and they finally win at Notre Dame, which we are going to talk about right now, as Michigan destroys the no-offense Notre Dame Fighting Irish 38-0 in a battle of freshman quarterbacks, and Michigan's got the better of them.
Yeah, I would think so.
But it was more, I think it would be more related to Michael Hart after a huge day on the ground for Hart. And you look at Notre Dame, I guess you stick with Clawson. I mean, you got nothing better? Is that Charlie Weiss is?
That's what he's got to think. I mean, this is, I guess, in football terms would be, it's a rebuilding year. That's what this is coming down to. And I feel bad for the seniors on Notre Dame because they are going to stink this year, but it's so hard to watch Notre Dame try to play football. I mean, I think I could do a better job sometimes running the ball than Notre Dame does. I mean, they didn't even get positive yardage in that game. I think they ended the game with a net rushing of like -9 or something crazy like that.
Let's put it this way.
Pathetic.
You lose the best quarterback in college football last year. You lose a top 5, top 10 receiver last year in Jeff Samardzija. And you lose, I'm blanking on, Darius Walker, who was a solid running back.
Solid, yeah.
I mean, you're going to slip. And it's Notre Dame, so people are going crazy.
But no one thought they were going to be this bad. I expected people to think, okay, well, they're going to fall off a little bit. Yeah, of course they are. But I don't think anyone saw Notre Dame being this bad. I mean, I think Lee Corso threw out a stat before we move on to the next game that Notre Dame has a combined yardage on offense of like 360 or something, and that's over the course of their three games. Teams are averaging that much a game, so that just shows how bad that the Notre Dame offense is playing right now.
It's looking a little brighter in Ann Arbor this Monday, and it's looking a little darker in South Bend.
Yes, needless to say.
A couple of games of note I will mention. UCLA got upset by unranked Utah, who's got their first victory of the year.
You want to mention that score real quick before we move on?
Yes, 44-6 to unranked Utah team that will probably be...
Was their first win of the season.
And it will probably be middle-of-the-road Mountain West Conference team, or even below middle-of-the-road.
Yeah.
So kind of a very disappointing loss for UCLA.
Yeah.
Penn State won 45-24 over Buffalo.
Not the score not indicating how big of a blowout this was. Buffalo scored 21 in the fourth quarter. Before that, they had only managed 3 points in three quarters of action.
Matt Ryan in Boston College threw for 434 yards to beat Georgia Tech 24-10 in an ACC.
Could we be talking about Matt Ryan as a sleeper pick for Heisman?
Not yet. They're gonna have to go 10-2. You know, something real impressive like that for him to be starting to be considered
as a Heisman candidate.
Sadly,
okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
And last game in the SEC, a good one between Arkansas, 16th ranked, gets the loss against the Roll Tide and the Alabama Crimson Tide, who improved to 3-0 with Nick Saban. Your thoughts on that? In a squeaker. Nick Saban, 3-0.
Turncoat is what the first thing that comes to mind with Nick Saban. Benedict but Arnold. An impressive win over a quality SEC opponent in Arkansas. McFadden had a great game, of course, on the ground. Their passing game just is not up to snuff with their running game. Really hurt them in this game. Arkansas, 11 of 23 passing the ball. And it was just a poor effort on Arkansas's part. But I guess maybe Alabama is just that good.
It could be 3-0. Let's see. You know, they'll have some big games against Auburn and Florida later in the year. So, you know, right now it looks good, but maybe Arkansas won't be as good as they definitely were last year.
Do you think Alabama enters the top 25 this week?
They should.
I would think so.
Well, that will do it for our college football rundown. And, of course, every Monday, expect the pro football rundown and the college football rundown.
And NFL rundown from me, college football rundown from yours truly, Jason Mish. We are now going to do a little segue into some Major League Baseball. I want to talk about some Cy Young and MVP predictions. Who do you have as your AL and NL Cy Young at this point, Jason?
As of today.
Season is winding down. Today is September 17th.
The AL Cy Young, I would take Josh Beckett. I'm actually going to take two obvious picks. Well, actually, three of the four I think are pretty obvious.
I think the NL is an easier pick than the AL is at this point.
But for the AL, I have
Josh Beckett
carrying the Red Sox first in wins and first in ERA with 3.06 ERA. So that's very important to me. And look, I think he's been the best pitcher in the AL, and that's
okay.
That's a Cy Young, so.
All right, well, of my Cy Young, I'm going to give it to CC Sabathia at this point. Third in the American League in wins, fourth in strikeouts, second in complete games, and first in innings pitched. This guy is a workhorse, is really carrying the Cleveland Indians at this point in the Central Division. And I just think that CC Sabathia, much like, you know, how MVP is awarded to the most valuable player to the team, I think the Cy Young should also have that kind of tag to it. And I think CC Sabathia is the most important part of the Cleveland puzzle right now if they want to get into the playoffs. So, moving on, what do you think about the NL Cy Young, Jason?
NL Cy Young is Jake Peavy right now. One less win than Beckett. 18-6, same losses.
Okay.
And just like Beckett, first in wins and ERA in his league, and a 2.39 earned run, best of any starter.
All right, well, I want to agree with you, but, you know, just to play devil's advocate, I want to take Takashi Saito, relief pitcher right now for the Dodgers, having a tremendous season, 39 saves, an ERA of 1.21, a whip of 0.70, the lowest in the major leagues. This guy is a rock. In the month of August, he gave up one earned run the entire month of August, had 10 saves and an ERA of 0.68. And right now in September, he has yet to give up a hit, an earned run, and has 5 strikeouts right now. And that is 5.2 innings of work. So, I mean, this guy is really keeping the Dodgers in the playoff race.
Been an anchor in the back of the Dodgers bullpen, definitely.
Yeah, huge.
We're going to go to the MVP races now. And for the NL, I'm going to take Prince Fielder. And I think you can make some arguments for maybe two Phillies in there, J-Roll and Chase Utley.
Mm-hmm.
I think the home runs and RBIs, 46 and 110, I believe, for RBIs.
Does the average of Ryan Howard scare you? Because he's...
You mean Prince Fielder or Ryan Howard?
No, Ryan Howard. I believe he's hitting the mid-260s. But
that's
he
what throws him out of it.
38 home runs, 120 RBIs.
I think the average is a little bit low, and that's the difference between him and, I'll say, Fielder, because his average is a little higher, and he's leading the league.
All right. Well, my NL MVP comes from Colorado, Matt Holliday. You know, second in the NL in batting average, first in RBIs, fourth in OPS, fourth in home runs, and third in slugging percentage. This guy's just doing it all. 27 years old in left field, is going to be a staple in Colorado, and I think is going to really end up making Colorado a contender in the NL West at some point.
Impressive stats, but in Coors Field, that's all I'm
Okay. Yeah, you always say that. But
moving on to the AL MVP, I think we can agree. I think it's hands down. A-Rod. 52 homers, 141 RBIs is all you need to know. And he's batting 300.
Nothing else needs to be said. I don't think Maglio or Ordonez could have put up a fight at midseason.
Because of the average. The average is great. The guys are good.
But Alex Rodriguez is basically carried the Yankees when they're struggling in the beginning of the year.
So to recap, AL Cy Young, I have Josh Beckett.
I had CC Sabathia.
NL Cy Young, I have Jake Peavy.
Takashi Saito for me.
NL MVP, I have Prince Fielder.
Matt Holliday.
And AL, we both have A-Rod.
That is correct. Before we move on, real quick. AL and NL Rookie of the Year. real quick. AL for NL, me, Dustin Pedroia. I think he's the only option.
That's hands down. NL.
Kind of tighter. Tulowitzki from Colorado. What about Coors Field?
Well, I mean, you threw me off guard with the rookie thing. So, I mean, and he's having a great year.
I'm
going to
say,
I'll say
Ryan Braun.
First shortstop since Ernie Banks to hit 20-20. So, I mean,
I'm going to say Ryan Braun from the Brewers.
Good pick. The average is a little low, I believe, but good pick.
Delman Young is also a possibility in the AL. And the NL, another one, Chris Young. But just wanted to get that out of the way since we're going over those. Please continue, Jason.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We will end today's show with the weekly fill, where, you know, we got to talk about the Phillies. Game and a half out, 4.5 in the division, I believe. That's correct, right?
I believe so, yes.
And another sweep of the Mets, Brennan. How can we play the Mets our last 18, 20 games?
I would love to. We've won our last 8 against them. It seems like it's the only team that we can beat on a consistent basis. It's just...
We're actually 3.5.
It's a 3.5 in the division? God, it's amazing.
The thing is, though, I keep looking at the Padres, and they're winning every day, too. So, it's not like we could have taken advantage more of sweeping the Mets if the Padres stumbled a little.
We could have, but still, I mean, we're only 1.5 games back of the Padres right now.
We've been in this position before. And
we've gotten the knife, and it's just the Philly stuck it in, and then turned it a couple times. So I don't want to get too excited, but I am, to be honest.
Chad Durbin going tonight against St. Louis in St. Louis against Kip Wells, who is 6-17. So if we can't beat Kip Wells,
I like those odds.
Maybe we don't deserve the playoffs.
What's the Phillies' schedule besides their little rendezvous with St. Louis in this 3-game series.
You know, that's one I'm only sure about. I'm sure about the
Okay, I got it. Four at Washington. We need to win that series. We're going to play a tough series with Atlanta, although that's going to be at home. And it looks like we will...
And Atlanta's fallen.
Yes, definitely. And looks like we have Atlanta. Oh, wow. This is going to be pretty easy for us, I hope. We finished the season 6 games at Citizens Bank. So
I see that. And we get Hamels back tomorrow night, which should be great.
Yeah, Hamels is starting in the St. Louis series, and he's going to be starting in the Washington series. So I really wish they could take Eaton out of the pitching rotation, though.
Well, then
who
do you throw in there?
Anyone.
There's not many options.
The Phillies can call me up, and I'll start pitching for them. I mean, watching that guy pitch is just... How do we hand that guy a three-year contract worth $24 million? The pitching market couldn't have been that bad. It really couldn't have been. This guy won. He's never won more than 11 games in his career.
See, when you put it that way, it's tough to
boggles the mind. I wonder. Make me a GM. I swear to God, I would do better than some of these idiots. Anyway, that is all the time.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Since we're a game and a half behind the Padres, I'm looking at the Padres' schedule. Pittsburgh for 4 starting tonight.
Ugh.
Colorado for 3 over the weekend. San Fran and Milwaukee. So, you know,
well,
Milwaukee's
going to be inspired. San Francisco, may have one tough game if they have to play against
Colorado. Should play him close.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Definitely.
So we'll see. And that is all the topics we have this week for East Coast Bias. And on behalf of myself, Jason Mish.
And myself, Brennan Canny.
This is the team that makes up East Coast Bias. You guys have a great week, and we will talk to you next Monday.
More NFL rundown, more college football rundown, and whatever is in between. Thanks a lot for listening, guys.
Peace.